chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. That says, "V'hayim shomo tishma," and if you shall listen carefully, "b'kol Hashem," to Hashem, "lishmu lasi," to observe, to fulfill, "as kol mitzvosav," all of His commandments, "ashanuchim mitzavacha hayom," that I'm commanding you today to do, "unusanucha Hashem lekecha elyon al kol goy ha'aretz," I will make you elevated above all of the nations of the world, "ubo'alecha kol habrachas," and all these blessings will come upon you. The blessings which are going to be mentioned after this section, "v'hesigucha," and they will reach you, "kisishma b'kol Hashem elokecha," when you listen to Hashem. And it goes on, "baruch atah v'ir," that goes on with the blessings. You'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the field, etc., etc., etc. So, right, definitely sounds reminiscent of the second paragraph of the Shema. If you listen to my mitzvahs, then things will happen. Good things will happen. One pasuk, or one word, in the second pasuk, where it says, "baruch lecha," they'll come to you, all these brachas, "v'hisigucha," "v'hisigucha." I think it's translated there as, they will reach you. The blessings will reach you. What does it say there in the English? It will reach you.
No, they overtake you.
Overtake you. Okay, that's one translation. The word masig, masig is to reach, to extend and to reach. So, "v'hisigucha," this is a bit of a puzzling word that the Mephorshim grapple with. What is it saying in addition to what it just said in the previous phrase? That these blessings will come upon you is not sufficient. Just knowing that the blessings are going to come to you, that's sufficient. What more is being added by the word "v'hisigucha"? It's going to reach you. That's my translation. That's how many translate it. So the Sephorno says, short comment by the Sephorno, he says, "Afal pi shelo tishtadol ato lahasigom," even if you don't try to achieve the blessings, the different blessings and bounty and good things in life, even if you don't try to get them, they'll come after you. They'll come after you. That's a bracha. Afal pi shelo tishtal, even if you make no hishtadlus, make no effort to achieve the bounty and the wealth and the goodness and the health, etc., all of the good things of life, you don't do it that yourself. You don't try to get it yourself. Tishtal ato lahasigom, you'll still reach them anyway. You'll get them anyway. Hashem is going to give it to you. Not to say that you shouldn't make a shtadlus. You make a shtadlus, but it's a bracha. What better way to get brachas is by not making a shtadlus? But again, it's not an invitation, don't make a shtadlus, but it's a bracha that even in the absence of a shtadlus, when you're following the mitzvahs of Hashem, when we are following a life of connection to Hashem, then brachas will come anyway. They'll come anyway, and that's the bracha in that word, the hisigucha. So Hashem will give you the brachas, and they'll reach you anyway, even without the effort you'd normally put out to get those brachas. They'll come to you anyway. That's one understanding. Similar to that is Rabbeinu Bachaya. He says, "Shelo tizdarach lirdof acha bracha." You don't need to chase after the bracha. You don't need to chase after the things, all of these good things of life. She atz metovei acharecha. They'll come to you by themselves in reward for following Hashem's way. In reward for following Hashem's way. That's a second pshat. I saw brought down by Rabbi Yisachar Frand another explanation quoted by the Machna, the Degel Machna Ephraim, and he says it's similar to a pasuk in Tehillim. In Tehillim, we say "Ach tov v'chesed yedafuni kol yimei chayim." We say that's Mizmul David. "Ach tov v'chesed yedafuni," only goodness and kindness shall chase after me all the days of my life. Mm-hmm. And the verb used in that pasuk is rodef. Rodef. Now, rodef. When I say the word rodef, what does that sound like? A pursuer, yeah, of a victim. It's a rodef, so it's a strange word to use regarding kindness and goodness. Only goodness and kindness should pursue me. It has a little bit of a negative connotation. Give me 1 second. You can turn the volumes off over here. Give me a second, mute everyone. So we can get everyone's chewing. Right. Okay, you're muted now. So what is the redifa? What's the rodef in association with goodness and chesed and tov? So he says, because sometimes what happens in life, we are pursuing things, different things. We think success is going to lie over there, or success is going to lie over there. And it's not, that's not where the success lies. And we're mistaken. We chase after the wrong things and we run away from things which we think are not good for us. But really, that's where the chesed lies. That's the many chesedim are camouflaged in different difficult circumstances. We think we'll find our panasa over here. We think we'll find our health over there. Really, Hashem knows better. So the Pasuk is saying, so David was saying, please Hashem, even if I make wrong choices and I go down wrong pathways of life, make sure that Tov HaChesed should chase me. Even if I'm running away from the opportunities, because I think in my narrow superficial perspective that the goodness and the Tov is not going to be over there. But please Hashem, don't listen to me. Don't listen to my mistaken choices. Don't listen to my crooked paths. Achto v'chesia defini, only goodness should chase after me. Well, I'm going down the wrong road. Please let it chase after me. That was David HaMelech's tefillah, and we can relate to it because we make choices. We go down life's paths in many, many different ways. We're not really sure 100%, and we react and we make decisions rashly. So it's hard. It's challenging. Life is a maze. So we have to say, we daven to Hashem, please Hashem, despite my perhaps inappropriate wrong choices, don't let that thwart the blessing. And therefore, achtu v'ches yudafuni, let the blessings chase after me. And that's what he says, is similar to what the Pasuk is saying, that they should reach me in a similar way. Despite my mistaken choices, my wrong pathways, please let them reach me anyway. Let the brachas let them reach me anyway. That's the tefillah. And here in the parashah, it's saying that if we follow Hashem's way in general, and if we adopt a life of shemiras and mitzvahs, observing mitzvahs, and learning Torah, so then taka, this will happen. This will happen. Even if we make wrong choices, we make mistakes, we go down wrong paths, the bracha is going to be, Hashem is going to steer us out back on the right path, and the brachas will be massing us. The brachas will reach us anyway. And he brings like the famous story of Leib Yitzchok of Bedichev. He's watching someone running, because he saw this man running. He says, where are you running to? I'm running over there to make my panasa. I'm running over there to make a business deal. So he says, what makes you so sure your panasa is over there? Maybe it's right over there where you're standing right now. How are you so sure? And what happened with the rest of that story, I don't know. But that's what the meaning of this pasuk is, right? So brachas are going to come. What's the key though? What is the actual key to the brachas? So the previous pasuk said so, the beginning of the passage. Listening to Hashem. So listening to Hashem, we say that every day in the Shema, listening to Hashem. And the question actually is what's the difference between this paragraph and the paragraph of the second paragraph of the Shema, which we say every single day? We also say every day, if you listen to Hashem, follow his mitzvahs, then all brachas are going to come to us. It's almost, I mean, the wording is slightly different over here, but it's the general sense, it's the general same general idea, listening to Hashem. So it begs the question, what's the difference between this passage of listening to Hashem and brachas coming our way, and the second paragraph of the Shema of listening to Hashem and brachas coming our way? So again, we open up the tried and tested Medrash Rabbah, and that seems to be my pattern over here. So the Medrash, you know, by the pasuk that it links it to, it tells us a lot about this, what the meaning of listening to Hashem is. So the Medrash links a pasuk in Mishlei once again, pasuk in Proverbs, to this pasuk and the whole paragraph over here to teach us what's it mean to listen to Hashem. What's it mean to listen to Hashem? We'll see also a uniqueness in this listening to Hashem in contrast to the listening of Hashem, which we say every day in the Shema, even though it's applicable all days of the year. So the Medrash right away says that this pasuk over here of if you listen to Hashem, the brachas are going to come. So it cites a pasuk in Mishlei, Ashrei Adam Shemeili. Fortunate is a person who listens to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that doesn't really say a lot different. Fortunate is somebody who's going to listen to me. Blessings will come to someone who's going to listen to me. But the Medrash expounds and says, what does it mean to listen to me? So it's a slight twist. Not that listening to Hashem to do what he tells us to do, but rather, says the Medrash, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ashrav la'adam, fortunate is a person, fortunate is an individual, b'shah, when, sheshmuosav li, when all of his listenings are about me, when all of his listenings are for me, when all everything he listens to, everything he pays attention to, is all about me. It's all about me, not about you, not about my selfish, egocentric drives. Our listening is all about Hashem, paying attention to all of the sounds that Hashem gives to us, which are going to help us in our life's path. One of the commentaries says, when a person's mevak, when he wants to listen to something, he listens only lema'ani, for my sake. For my sake. His listening is for my sake. He pays attention to the things which are going to, which are for my honor and not for his own honor. That's what fortunate is a person whose all of his listenings are about me. So the focus, as we're going to see in this, is the focus of the Medrash is not about necessarily doing mitzvahs. It goes without saying it's doing mitzvahs. And the Pasuk says that also, if you listen to me, to observe the mitzvahs. But that's not the focus of the Medrash. It's not about, I mean, again, it is about doing mitzvahs. It goes without saying. But the Medrash is revealing to us that there's another dimension of listening, which is not just about doing mitzvahs, but it's about listening unto itself. So the first point is, again, listening is, I'm listening, always listening out. I'm listening out for Hashem. That's what it means, listening out for Hashem. Listening out that my listenings are attuned to what Hashem wants in life. Listening on that kind of level. Medrash continues, quoting the verse further in Mishle, the verse continues, Lishko dal doso sais. Fortunate is the person who hurries to my doors. That's what the Pasuk says in Mishle. Fortunate is the person, who listens to me and hurries to my doors. Hurries to my doors. What's hurrying to my doors? So the Medrash says, to interpret this, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hashem says, if you go to shul, if you go inside a shul, basically, don't stand over there. Don't stand on the outside of the shul. If you come to shul, don't stand in the lobby outside and daven over there. I mean, sometimes people do that. Don't stand in the lobby to daven over there. Go inside. Go inside the two doors. Go inside the front door and then go through the second door, which is into the shul itself. Lishko dal dalti, because the Pasuk says to hurry through the doors, plural. It doesn't say through the door. Through the doors, plural, alluding to the fact that there's two doors to the shul. Because Hashem says, go through both those doors. I want you to take extra steps to go inside the door, both doors, and go inside the base kness as well. This is actually connected to a Gemara in Brachos, which says that when you actually, this is, I mean, perhaps many people would not think to daven in the foyer, in the lobby, but sometimes people do. But there's also going to be an allegorical message in this as well, which we'll see in a few minutes. But on a practical level, something which is very practical, which the Gemara does actually quote this verse for as well, is that when you go inside the shul, that it's not proper to daven right by the door. Right? Even inside the shul, the Gemara says that you should walk into the shul at least the width of two doorways inside the shul to separate yourself from the door, because otherwise it makes it look like you're trying to run out. You're by the door to kind of leave as quickly as possible. It's a psychological, it's kind of like I'm on the periphery. I'm not really part of it. I'm not going in to be part of it. And this is more common, definitely much more of a common phenomena for people to, they gravitate towards the door and they feel like they are a little bit kind of more to themselves, separated, and they're not, they can always just make a quick exit as quickly as possible. We're not discussing security guards, but maybe even security guards also, they should, someone who's a Jewish security guard should step in as well. But it's not a good, it's a proper thing to go inside, to be inside, and to, oh, just, by the way, just turn your, quick reminder, turn your machines off. So go inside the shul. Don't stand by the entrance. And that's alluded to in this phrase, to hurry through the doors, right? And this is all part of the theme of listening to Hashem. Fortunate is the person who listens to me, the first point was, who listens to me by making sure that all his listenings are about me. Number two, to hurry through the door, to hurry into the base Knesset, into the shul, to go inside the shul, to go actually inside the shul itself. And next point in the Pasuk continues, Lishmur Mezuzas Pesachai, to also guard the entrance, to guard the doorposts of my entrances. What is that? Rabbi Yehuda Bar Sima said, Does a shul have mezuzahs? I translated this doorpost. It says lishmur mezuzos pesachai, to guard the mezuzahs of my entrances, referring to the shuls. But we know there's a halacha, even though there is a mezuzah over there, but technically speaking, a shul does not require a mezuzah. The reason why there's a mezuzah over here is because if it's used also for other purposes too, then it requires a mezuzah, but an exclusively dedicated place of tefillah, of prayer, does not require mezuzah. That's a different discussion, But that's the Medrash's question. The Pasuk says, to guard the mezuzahs of my entrances, does a shul have a mezuzah? No. Rather, what it means, the word mezuzah, actually, the word mezuzah, grammatically, really what it means is a doorpost. We call the scroll, which we put on the doorpost, a mezuzah, because it's on the mezuzah. But really, the literal translation of the word mezuzah is the doorpost. It's not the thing you put on. It's not the scroll you put onto the doorpost. The doorpost is the mezuzah. So that's what it means over here. So what the Pasuk says, to guard my mezuzahs, guard my doorposts. What does it mean? That one should not leave the entrance of the Beis HaKnesses. Don't leave. Stay as long as possible. To guard them, to stay guard by the mezuzahs, not to leave, and to stay there as long as possible. And here the Medrash actually adds, not just the Beis HaKnesses, but also the Beis Medrash as well. The two most important places in the Jewish community, aside from the mikveh, but in terms of daily activities for everyone, the two most important places is the shul and the Beis Medrash, right? The shul and the Beis Medrash is the most important places to be, to frequent shuls and Beis Medrashes. And that's really what's coming out of this Medrash over here, that we have to really attach ourselves and become connected as much as possible to a shul and a Beis Medrash, to be inside the shul and be inside the Beis Medrash. It's all part and parcel of listening to Hashem, of listening. So also not to leave. So the Medrash continues. And then as a result of this, the Pasuk, explaining the Pasuk, the last part of the Pasuk, because if you do so, when we do this type of practice, ki motzi motzo chayim, because those who find me find life. If you find me in the Beis Medrash, because you are finding me in the Beis Medrash, you are necessarily finding me in the shul and in the Beis Medrash, and therefore, because you're finding me, you have found life. This is life. This is true life. This is true life. Being in the Beis Medrash, being in the shul, is being with life. You have life by being it. You find me, you're finding me. The Medrash says, Omar Kodesh Baruch, mi uzesh, abol the basic nesim, le motzu eskavodi shav. Who could come to the shul without finding my glory over there? We're here right now. Isn't it great? We're sitting in the shul right now. Can't you feel it? The Kedusha, the sanctity, the covered Shemayim inside the shul. Who comes into a shul and doesn't find my covered, my glory over here? Rabbi Avu, not only do you have it while you're inside the shul, but Hashem also, it also, in addition to that also, not only are you going to experience and receive the divine presence inside this shul over here, you're also going to walk out of here, ta'un brachas, laden with blessings. You want to get blessings? Come to shul, come to a Beis Medrash, and you'll walk away loaded up with so many blessings. Shenem, as the Pasuk says, ki motzi motzo chayim, those who find me in the shul, in the Beis Medrash, have found life, for yothik rotzen ma'ashem, and has elicited desire from Hashem, for hevei, and this is our Pasuk. Conclusion of the Medrash is, and this was the part, in Hayim Shema Tishmo, if you listen to me, then brachas will come to you and they'll reach you as well. But what does it mean to listen? This is the chiddush over here. The listening is not only, it goes without saying doing mitzvahs, but that's not been the theme of the Medrash, right? That's not been the theme. The Medrash didn't mention anything about doing mitzvahs. The whole point of the Medrash was listening to, there were two things which the Medrash says. Number one is make sure that my listenings are always about you, Hashem. It's about kavana, thinking about doing things l'shem shemayim. The second thing is going to a shul, going to a Beis Medrash, and listening to the sounds of Hashem inside the Beis Medrash and inside the shul. It's listening to the sounds of, because if you think about it, like, what is the sound of the Beis Medrash? What is the sound of the shul? The sound of the shul and the sound of the Beis Medrash is Hashem. It's Hashem inside the shul. It's Hashem inside the Beis Medrash. And the Medrash is saying that even before we start doing mitzvahs, the first step is listen to Hashem, listen to the sounds of the shul, listen to the sounds of the Beis Medrash. If you look at the Pasuk, I asked earlier, what could be the difference between this passage and the second paragraph of the Shema, which we say every day? So on the surface, they're almost identical. But there's one big difference between the two passages. In this Pasuk over here, Pasuk 1, it's the Vahayim Shema Tishma. If you will surely listen, what's the next word? To the sound of Hashem. The Kol Hashem. If you listen to the call, the sound of Hashem, then these the whole emphasis of it doesn't say that in the second paragraph of the Shema. In the second paragraph of the Shema, it says, just if you listen to my mitzvahs, and it's interpreted and understood as practice. And it goes without saying. As I said, it goes without saying. But that's not the stress of this passage over here. At least, and suddenly comes the Medrash, the stress is not about the mitzvahs. It's a different angle. It's the angle of listening to the sounds of Hashem, listening to the voice of Hashem, listening to the voice of Hashem. Listening to the voice of Hashem has many manifestations. But the first point the Medrash says is paying attention to the voices of Hashem, the sounds of Hashem in our lives, and being attentive and being attuned to what sounds, what words, what conversations, what lectures, what classes are going to bring me closer to Hashem, right? I mean, we're exposed, we're surrounded by so many sounds. I mean, let alone the Lashon Hara, that goes without saying, that's not going to help you get closer to Hashem. But all of the sounds on the media, the sounds in the media, the sounds on the radio, the sounds on TV, the sounds on the news, the sounds in the conversations, and unfortunately, sometimes the sounds of the conversations, sometimes in shuls themselves. Are those sounds bringing me closer to Hashem? Medrash is saying, based upon the Pasuk of Mishlei, is fortunate is the person who listens to the sound of Hashem, that all of his listenings are all attuned, they're all tuned in. What's going to bring me closer to Hashem? What is for the sake of Hashem? That's what the Medrash says. Now you see that if that's the modus operandi of a person's life, of course it brings to mitzvahs. It brings a person to more mitzvahs. But the first step over here, the Medrash is teaching us, is that our listening has to be all about listening to Hashem. And the second message is that the other way of listening to Hashem, this is a beautiful, I mean, it's just a beautiful default experience, by being inside the shul. I mean, who doesn't go to it? I mean, the Medrash almost said that. Who does not go into a shul without experiencing the presence of Hashem? But practically, you walk into any shul anywhere. Well, I mean, within reason. But you go into suddenly yeshivas. You can walk in and not know anything, or not be intending to even learn anything. And just you sit down in the base Medrash or in the shul, and either the beautiful sounds of the davening inspire you, or the wise words, or the words of Torah which you're listening to on the table next to you inspire you and change your life. There's no way you can't be moved by being inside of a shul. But that's the sounds of Hashem. The Kol Hashem is inside the shul. The Kol Hashem is inside the base medrash. As I'm saying this right now, I'm having deja vu. And I remember, because this is something which the Rosh Hashiva, my Rosh Hashiva, blessed memory, was extremely, very, extremely emphatic about being inside the base medrash and being even learning in the base medrash. So I think I shared this story before that, I used to, in the base medrash, the Ezra's Noshim was upstairs like a balcony. So it wasn't uncommon for certain students to sit upstairs overlooking the base medrash and still hearing the sound of the base medrash, but really not part of the base medrash, and learn over there because it's a bit quieter over there. You can concentrate better. So I never forget the evening I was sitting up there in the Ezra's Noshim, concentrating, learning my Gemara, and feeling very happy that I was focused. And then lo and behold, the Rosh Shiva comes into the Ezra's Noshim. He walked into that area and he saw me there. And he quite emphatically told me that I should be downstairs in the base medrash. Tzamin in the base medrash. You have to be learning Tzamin in the base medrash. He was very strong and stark about it. Learn together inside the base medrash. Now, he was emphasizing the idea that learning Torah is not an individualistic, isolated experience by oneself. It's part of the kehila, it's part of the klal, part of the community. It's the collective learning which really has the greatest impact. It's not me locking myself up in a closet in a private place somewhere else in the world. It's together with everybody else learning together. That's what really makes the biggest impact. But this is, you think about this medrash, it's beautiful because it's telling us there's another dimension of listening. Number one, making sure listening is l'shem shamayim, for the sake of Hashem. And number two is listening out and going to those places, frequenting those places where the sounds of Hashem are around us. And that's the first step. Now, that's the medrash. Now, the commentaries have different discussions about this. One of them is the Shem Mishmuel, one of the Chassidish commentaries. So this you know, this idea, this metaphor, this description of the door within a door. So I mentioned that there's a halacha about not davening in the lobby, and that the Medrash says as well. But is there anything more to that? Is there anything more to this metaphor, this description of specifically, and it's in the pasuk, dal sosai, my gates, my doors, go inside my doors. Don't stand by the entrance, but go deles. Where is it? It says, have you miskam lekonis deles lifnim medeles. Go inside, door within a door, door within a door. It's an interesting description. I mean, why didn't the Medrash just simply say, go inside the shul? Why does it have to say this, delas lifnim medelas? So the Shem Mishmul says that the doors, right, the doors over here, the shul itself, the basic anesthesis, is a metaphor for the lave, for the heart, right? Because especially a shul, a base Medrash, perhaps maybe a board would be a metaphor for the mind, for it's a place of learning. But the shul is a metaphor for the lave, for the heart. This is where we daven. This is where our emotions are aroused in our service of Hashem. So the basic nesis is the place of the lave. So it's a mashal for the lave inside of ourselves. So the shul is a mashal for the, is a parametaphor for my own heart. Problem is, our hearts get stopped up. Our hearts get stopped up and our emotions become distant in the sense of we lose touch and we are distant. We are, you know, the feeling, the connection to Hashem, the connection to the spirituality becomes dulled. And the heart becomes blocked, spiritually blocked. The heart becomes spiritually blocked. The door within the door represent the two levels of breaking down doors inside of our heart. So he says, I want to read this inside. I don't want to make any mistakes with his comment. So he says, it appears to me, the liba shel adam nikra basic nesses, the heart of a person is called the shul. Inside the heart are all of his strengths, all of his faculties, all of his emotions. The gates, though, what are the gates specifically? The doors of the heart is oznaim, the ears. The ears are the doors to the heart. The haznaim, hein pischei alev, they are the entrances to the heart. Our ears are the entrances to the heart. The Medrash says, "Ozen leguf is kekanka lekelim." The ear to the body is like a basket for a vessel. A basket for a vessel holds the actual utensil, holds it. So the ear is like as a receptacle for the heart. If there's no ear listening to the things around it, then the heart doesn't have a place to be. Ach lo kol hashmiya shavas. Not all listenings are the same. Not all hearings are the same. Yeshmiya chetzonis is superficial listening. There's external superficial hearing. Sheinin nechnasas leomek alev, which doesn't penetrate inside the heart. Al bechetzonosav, it just stays on the outside. We're all listening right now, and we're not judging, or not even that questioning, which is, but we're all listening, and we are all listening to different things, which we listen to. The question we have to ask ourselves, is my listening at a particular moment a superficial listening or an in-depth listening? Is it superficial or is it in depth or is it with panemius? For example, someone goes inside a palace, and when he's just at the entrance of the palace, he goes out the other side. That's like the person standing by the entrance of the shul. But shmiya hamisbekeshes, the ideal type of listening is kishenikletes ba'umak alev, when it goes inside the depths of the heart. Shahalev nisragesh, when the heart is moved. When the heart is moved, if the listening penetrates the heart, then now my heart is moved. There's some type of vitality. There's life inside my heart. When it's spoil, and I move meshmiyazu from this listening, that's called nichnas delas. That's called going inside a door within a door. That's the, what the when the Medrash says going inside one door inside another door. That's when you're listening to a point that the words which you're hearing is not staying on the outside, but they're penetrating inside as well, inside the heart, inside the base kinesis, inside the heart. V'shchiach binyan zeh, very, very common. Many mistakes people make with this and delusions they have for themselves. Many times people think that a person thinks that he's being moved And that the ideas, the thoughts, the concepts which he's learned about have really penetrated the depths of his heart. But in truth, they're still standing externally, superficially on the periphery. They haven't really gone in. We think we've understood. We think we've learned. We think it's penetrated. You know, it's important to point out there's two put together with this, cognitive listening versus emotional listening. Cognitive listening is just the intellectual, cognitive awareness of the ideas, and you can parrot it back to someone afterwards. That's called cognitive listening. But that's not the kind of listening we're talking about. We're talking about emotional listening. Emotional listening that it goes inside, it's moving me. There's some kind of, you know, life inside of me. There's a movement that's motivating me to do something different, to change. But if it's not that way, and it's only through one doorway, then it's still on the outside. And the sayana amiti, the true test, the true litmus test, is if the person is chasing, is pursuing, what does the Torah really want from me? That's the litmus test. What kind of person is this person? Is he really pursuing, finding out, what does Hashem want of me? What does the Torah want of me? Not what do I think the Torah is saying about X, Y, or Z, and not what do I think about life and anything, and out of curiosity, what does the Torah say about that? It's a life of what does the Torah want of me? What does Hashem want of me? It's all of his listenings are about me. All of his listenings are all about me. But not to be fulfilled the external commandment of the Torah, but he wants to understand what is the depth of the commandment, to understand it and for it to penetrate inside the heart. That's what it means to really listen. But someone who does indeed penetrate and go into what does Hashem want, what does the Torah want, and prepares himself, to go after the inner intent of the instruction or the mitzvah, whatever it may be, that's called Nichnas Dalas Lifnim Dal. That's called going inside a doorway within a doorway. Vazatzmuha Purish, and that's the, what I said before. That's the explanation of all his listenings are for me. Hainu Pnimis Hakavana, the inner internal emotional connection to the idea. Vazehu im Shema Tishmu, and this is the meaning of the pasuk. If you'll surely listen, that is Shemua Tishmu, double expression. If you'll listen in a double way, a double listening. That is Shemir Kefula, a double listening. This is Vizeu Lekol Hashem, to the sound, to the real voice of Hashem, to the voice of Hashem. If you'll surely listen deeply, emotionally to the voice of Hashem, Shiyadua Afresh Bein Kol, because we know the difference between a voice and a Dibor. Kol, Dibor is just the enunciation of the words, the articulation of the sound. But the Kol is the Pnimius, the Kol is the sound, is the real deep meaning behind the word, behind it. And that's what the pasuk is saying. Listening to Hashem, going deeper, delas lifnim delas, door within a doorway, to allow the ideas to go inside. The sounds shouldn't just sit on the entrance, on the outside. Go in to penetrate. And it requires meditation. It requires thought. It requires contemplation. It requires staying with the ideas, right? Without jumping around to something else in a snap of a finger before, you know, you've had a chance to contemplate it and for it to assimilate. As we approach Rosh Hashanah, he connects this to Rosh Hashanah, and he connects this to the shofar as well. He says, he discusses the shofar, the mitzvah of the shofar. So we know that the mitzvah of the shofar, there's 100 blasts of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah altogether, but the 100 blasts are actually rabbinic. The minimum number is much less than that. But another way that the shofar, another aspect of the shofar blowing is also the what's called the tekiyas de meyushav and the tekiyas de meumad. The tekiyas de meyushav is the sitting blasts and the standing blasts. Now, when do we sit during the shofar? Well, the answer is in yesterday century, in Talmudic times, the sitting blast, I don't know if anyone necessarily did it, but technically speaking, you could sit for the first blasts. The first blast of shofar blowing is before the Shemone Esrei. So it's after the Torah reading, before the Musaf service. So there's no obligation to stand per se over there. Now we do stand, that's the custom to stand. But that's called the blowing of the sitting. That's called the sitting blowing. Even though we don't do it, But theoretically, technically, there's no prohibition to sit down. The shofar blast of standing up is during the Amida. Now you have to stand up, right? Shemoneh Esrei, you have to be standing up. That's called the Tekiyas, the Me'umah, the blasts of standing up. And that's how the shofar service is divided between these two different sections. And they're very, very, and the way everyone's way of blowing it, the first set of blasts is identical for everyone. The second series of blasts in the Amida and the repetition of the Amida, it's a different customs between Sephard and Ashkenaz, whether it's blown even during the silent Shemoneh Esrei, when the shofar blows reaches the certain points of the blessings, he blows it. That's Sephard custom, Hasidic custom, Ashkenazic custom, don't blow it at all during the silent Shemoneh Esrei. It's all done on the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei. But that's the two different sections. So one's called, again, the sitting blast, and the other one's called the standing blast. We have two sets of blasts. So he's going to connect it to the discussion. First of all, though, he says, Tekiah Trua Tekiah. Tekiah Trua Tekiah, what do those words mean? So the word Tekiah actually is related, he says, it's related to a pasuk in the Chumash, for Hoka Osam, to hang them, to impale. That the one of the definitions of Tekiah is to impale, to hang. Sounds pretty, serious and morbid, right? That's tekiah. Trua means to smash, right? To smash and to shake. Okay, not getting much better, is it? And how about the other sound? Tekiah, trua, tekiah. There's another sound, shavarim. What does shavarim mean? To break. So you got all these sounds, smashing, hanging, breaking in the sounds of the shofar. What are you breaking? What are you smashing? What are you destroying over here? What are you breaking? You're breaking. This is all for Steve. The Klippas, right? You're breaking the Klippas, Steve, right? That's what he says, the Klippas. I learned more about this today because the Klippas, you probably know more about this than I do, but the Klippas, right, the Klippas are the husks, the spiritual barriers, the shells which block us, which hover around the heart, which block the heart. The spiritual husks, the spiritual barriers which block the heart from perceiving Hashem. The three, actually, it's in the Zohar, and this is a very, very basic idea, or, famous idea, that there are three klippas, three negative klippas based upon Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, where the pasuk says, stormy wind, huge cloud, flashing fire. So this is the origin of these three different types of klippas. Now, I didn't see this further, but it stands to reason that they also correspond to the three traits of jealousy, ego, and passion. Jealousy, kinotype, and covet. They also correspond to that, presumably, as well. But these are all of the negative energies, the negative force, the Yetzirah, the different manifestations of the Yetzirah, which block us. But the three primary forces of the Klippas, the purpose of the blowing of the shofar, and the purpose of the breaking that those words allude to, is to break these different klippas, is to break the klippas of our heart. And the trua, the tekiah, the shavarim, they're all targeted towards different types of klippa. Please don't ask me which one maps to which one, doesn't discuss it, I don't know. So, but the two sets of the blowing of the shofar, the first set of sitting down, the first set of blasts at the beginning, the purpose of that is to get through the first door. Remember, we saw two doors, getting through two doors of the heart. And the first is that external door where there's no emotional receptivity whatsoever. And it's all just about like cognitive, it's just all about the brain. We've got to break through. We've got to open up the emotions a little bit. We've got to shake ourselves up. The first set of blowing of the shofar, the first blasts are to break through the klippas of the heart to get through into the first doorway. That's the first process. That's the first step. The first step is the hosek klippas alev, to separate the klippas alev, the klippas of the heart, she'ena menicha lishmo b'panimus, which are stopping a person from listening emotionally, from listening within. Alinisha b'chitzonis alev, he's just listening externally. V'alyeta tekiyas demyushav, and in that first set of the shofar blast, mesirines gimel klippas alev, it takes away the three klippas of the heart. V'rak oz, and only then, yachon lishmo tekiyas, and then you're prepared, then you're ready to now listen to the second set of tekiyas as well, on a second level, a second round. Shem Ikka Tekiyas, which, by the way, is the primary time of the mitzvah of the shofar. Right? People don't realize this. The primary time, the Ikka mitzvah shofar is the second set of blasts in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the silence, the repetition. That's the time of Pnimis Alev. That's when you're really emotionally connected. And the truth is, with the Shemoneh Esrei and everything, it definitely facilitates that. You're much more connected. You're listening to the shofar as you're davening the Shemoneh Esrei. Very powerful. And this, we say, the second set, the Gemara says, is la'arveves ha-satan, is to confound the satan. That's where there's technical reasons or more superficial reasons for this. One of the meanings of this confounding of the satan is because look what's happened over here. This person is really, he's already gone through stage one, phase one. He's gone through the first door of breaking his door down to get into his emotions. The satan doesn't like that. So now the second set, now this person is on major effort now, on steroids of spirituality right now. And the satan is just getting so confounded, he's so upset. When the satan hears it a second time, that these ideas, the sound of Hashem, the voice of Hashem, is going into my kishkas, it's going into my heart. As matira misyare, then it's really afraid. Now the sultan's afraid. Shema mata zimne the misbola. Maybe his time has come to be consumed and destroyed, and the Mashiach's going to come. That's the idea. That's what he says. This is all the idea of this pasuk of listening to Hashem. So the idea is to, number one, listen out for Hashem all the time. Listen out for Him. Number two is to frequent places that automatically promote kedusha and elevated, which are the shuls and the bati midrashas. And you can't help but not be inspired by being in one. That's what happens. Even if you don't learn or daven over there, just by being in the proximity of a shul and being inside the shul or base medrash, it's impossible not to be moved and come to listen to Hashem. But then on this deeper level, is don't be like somebody who's hanging around on the periphery, who's hanging around by the doors of the shul, but the psychological doors of our heart, the psychological, emotional, spiritual doors of our heart. Let's not be on the periphery, just approaching life, approaching mitzvahs, approaching Yiddishkeit cognitively, right? It starts there. But let it not just be a cognitive experience of Yiddishkeit. It's not a cognitive, it's an emotional, it's a spiritual, it's an elevating experience. It's the raison d'etre of our lives to be connected to Torah, to be connected to the mitzvahs, to be connected to Hashem. That's emotional listening. And if we do all this, just doing that, listening in this way, brachas will come our way. Not only will come our way, they'll chase after us as well, as we're sometimes stumbling and veering off right and left because we lose track a little bit. Hashem will bring us back on the right track as well.